Welcome to the Nexus Podcast. The word Nexus means a connected group. And when it comes to church leadership, we're better together. No one should have to choose between developing themselves and developing their church. The Nexus Podcast by Christ Fellowship is all about having real conversations that equip and resource you to grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church. So let's lean in.
Hey, welcome back to the Nexus Podcast. I'm your host, James Duvall. And if you haven't subscribed yet, take a moment to do that now so you don't miss any episodes for you or your team. Today, we're diving into part two of our conversation about digital discipleship with our very own executive creative pastor, Greg Reed. So what are some practical steps churches can take towards reaching and discipling people through digital ministry?
Eventually, this conversation always gets like, okay, practically, like help us, what can we do? And so I think I'm just going to talk through a few areas that's like, here's some areas in the church and here's a thought or two that would lead us in the right direction. So I think for social media, obviously social media is becoming a huge part of all of our churches. No matter what size you are, you may have a volunteer or a staff member. Sometimes I get into an argument of like, that social media role may be more important than some other roles that we've held dear for a long time, because you might be able to reach a lot more people through social media than this one role that's on staff.
Yeah.
But I would say for social media, the biggest thing we've learned is really add value to people. Right now, still, we use social media so much as a promotional tool or advertising our own events and the things that we want people to go to. But honestly, social media is already full of it. Like, we're tired of seeing ads. Every three clicks, it's an ad. People are tired of that. So all of a sudden, you put a piece of content that actually adds value to people, it makes them stop and go like, oh, that's different. And I think for me, I'm always thinking two ways. Like, is someone going to want to save this? I know for me, when I go through social media and there's something that's helpful to me, I save it like right away. It's usually the first thing I do because I may not have time in swiping, but I'm like, whatever that was impactful and I want to remember it.
Yeah.
And every once or twice a month, I just sit there and go through my saved stuff and make notes and think about like, I need to read that book or that quote meant something to me. So I think for us, really trying to be produce content like people would save and then people would share. The things that we love, we share. And I think for me, it's like, how do we create content that does that? And I think that doesn't mean we stop promoting. We have a marriage conference coming up. It doesn't mean we stop promoting marriage conference, but it says instead of like, hey, you need to come to our marriage conference, gives me the greatest thing. It actually says, we know marriage is hard. Like if you're married, then you know it's one of the hardest things that you have to do in your life, but it's also the most rewarding. Well, you might not feel like that right now, but we want you to feel like that. We want you to know the plan God has for your marriage. We have this amazing event coming up to help your marriage. And you kind of, here's the 1, 2, 3 of how to get signed up.
Right.
But all of a sudden that same like promotion became, you care about my marriage. And you also like, you understand that it's hard.
And that's so, going back to that brand language of like helping make them the hero and us just the guide, right?
It's not us about like, hey, our event is going to save your life. Like, no, it's probably not, but we could help kind of guide you in the right direction. And I think for that, anytime you talk about any of those, any announcements or messages, things like that, I think we have to paint this picture of like success or like, what does transformation look like? Well, it looks like success or failure.
Right.
And most of us don't want to fail. So you
Do you have any like standard by how much content compared to advertising that you put in social media?
Yeah, I think it goes back and forth. I think different seasons. I think 3-to-1, like 3 value adds to 1 promotional item is kind of this. And we don't always adhere to that. But to me, it's the safest place to go like, okay, if you got 4 posts a week, 3 of them really need to be kind of value add inspirational, not meaning they can't lead someone to something.
Right.
And then 1 maybe is that like, okay, it's a graphic. But I think even senior pastors, you could see this, like most people want to hear from senior pastors' lives. You go through your social media, if you're a senior pastor and look at like, if you had a graphic you posted from your church, I guarantee you your likes or shares are nowhere near if you posted a picture with your wife and just said something nice about her. Cause it's like, oh, that's my senior pastor. They're also like their husband and wife too. I forget that. And it's like, that's like me.
Yeah.
So I think for social media, it's kind of looking that way. The other area is really, I just think leveraging your content. I just feel for pastors who spend their whole entire week creating a message. They deliver it 3 or 4 times on Sunday.
And then it's done.
And then Monday, they got to restart. So I really think bring a team around you or even find resources online. Your message can go so much further. And for me, like the business world has got this. Most people who build their own personal brand or personal platform, they got 1 or 2 messages and they just keep churning the content. And for our pastors, it's like every week you're coming up with a whole, you could write a book on one message. So I think trying to make your content, you know, it's take your 3 points and make them a social media swipe. Hey, the 3 points you had this week, no one's going to even remember tomorrow when you're like, what are 3 great ways to parent? Well, here's 1, 2, and 3. No one's even going to be like, oh, wait, I've heard this before. Or turn it into, you know, a long form blog post or a podcast. There's just so much you can do with your content.
I just recently listened to a podcast and they were talking about how you can take one piece of content, whether that's a, in this case, a sermon, and you can turn it into at least 10 other pieces of content
easily
that yep. are going to be, they're going to give your sermon legs to live on beyond the Sunday. Yep. Right.
And I think some people are like, oh, we don't have a big video team. There's companies now that do this for like super affordable. You can send them your sermon and they'll cut it up in as many clips as you want. Like yep. there's plenty of chatbots now. You could put your whole transcript from your message and be like, write me a blog article. So I think there's just really leveraging your content. The next one is all the data that we're consuming as churches, small church or big church, everyone has some kind of church management system. They have something they're operating on. All of that data, honestly, can give you so much of a story of your engagement of people, but we don't really look at it. You know, we count butts and seats.
Yeah.
And the fact is, like, you can't name a butt and a seat. Like,
that's true.
You know it's a butt, but you don't know who it is. But I think the one thing I realized with all this engagement we're seeing, people filling out connect cards, people checking their kid in, people volunteer sign up to serve, you can actually get a better picture of like, here's their engagement with church. So like for us, it used to be, hey, if Jim didn't come to church this week, it was like, well, he's just not here. Well, the fact is, yeah, but what if you could see that he was on your website for 40 minutes watching messages? Like, wouldn't that count as engagement? So I think trying to look differently at, you know, the data we do have and the way we could look at it, trying to look at it more in a context of people's engagement and not just saying like, well, if they attend, they engage. If someone picks up their phone 3 minutes into your sermon, are they engaged? Like, I don't know. They're physically there. So I think it's really trying to look at that data differently. And I think sometimes we're so used to looking at attendance numbers because we want to see growth, but it's like, how can we look at that completely different? I think the other one is just even with that is like measuring your digital landscape. A lot of people say like, oh, our church online, our digital numbers are up or down, and they're talking about their online service. But you got to look at everything. Like we look at website, like how many people are coming to our website? Where are they coming from? What are they looking at? All of that paints this picture of like what people are actually looking for. But it also helps us measure, hey, why did our website traffic drop this month? Or what? We're actually measuring that month to month and even sometimes even in closer increments. But measuring that whole, you know, how many followers did we go up or down? YouTube subscribers. We're looking at all of those things, trying to say like, okay, is our footprint kind of up and to the right? Or are we slacking in some places? And I'm talking to some churches who've seen a little bit of a decline in church online, like their online service, and they're freaking out. But I'm like, yeah, but look at every, you got to look at the whole landscape. Yeah. Not just one service that you've streamed online.
Let me ask you a question about that, because I think some churches who are still trying to figure out how to count or like what do you measure? Like what are some ways that you can tell how do we measure our online service attendance?
Yeah. We measure like YouTube. We've had many different formulas. We've really landed right now on YouTube's like retention. We've figured out all the formulas we created are pretty much equal to YouTube's retention. Okay. They spit out a retention formula. So we're basically saying like how much of our audience that we retain through the most part of our video. And that's meaning like you really got to watch almost our whole service to be counted. And we don't use any multipliers. A lot of people are still using multipliers. And I don't think it's bad to use it. We've just has said like, I would love to count conservatively to have an idea of where we are.
Well, when we made that decision, we used to use a multiplier.
Yes.
And then like, we went through a little season of like minor depression when we went away from multipliers.
Yeah, because you're going to go from having 900,000 a weekend to having 5,000.
5,000. Yeah. But it's really important. I would say this to senior leaders. You can't manage what you can't measure.
Yep, exactly.
And so if you have this astronomical number, it feels good. But if you just count actual individual IP addresses, right, then you can actually measure growth or not growth,
And you can see, and that's my biggest thing. I always come back to like percentage growth over growth. Like, are we, no matter how you decide to count, I do think counting conservatively is a better idea. But as long as your percentages are going up week over week, like that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think really honing in on that, but I think you can learn from, you know, we've learned from YouTube. Like if we have a bunch of people click it and all of a sudden it drops, okay, well the first 30 seconds, we probably didn't do what we needed to do. If you're going to put your message online, that first 20 or 30 seconds, you better make sure like you come in, you know, we clip the beginning of our messages. So if we start a message, hey, thanks for everyone joining campuses, like we don't put that online. You know what I mean? We're trying to get to the point where it's like, okay, someone hears this and they go like, oh, this is what I was looking for. And I think that you could just see that through click-through rate and then how fast it drops off. But I think for us, it's measuring, you know, it's being conservative in our measurement. But I will say for any senior leader, I think if you're seeing 900,000 a minute, like question it, because that you'd probably count in 10 second views. And some people just might not know, hey, it's just like, oh, that's what Facebook told me. Well,
as leaders, we love big numbers.
Yeah, we love big numbers.
We love big numbers, but they're not actually always accurate to give us a real view of what's going on.
Yeah, and I think for us too, the last thing we were looking at, like website, obviously your website it's become a huge piece for any organization. But for us, we tailor our website extremely to an external user. And I think for some church leaders, that could be frustrating because sometimes you land the website and you're like, well, I can't find what I'm looking for. It's like, yeah, but 90% of the people coming to the website are probably not looking for the latest message or the give button. They're like, is this a church that like I could fit into. And right. so for us, probably one of the places that the story brand comes, like story brand comes out the most is probably on our website. You know, yeah. we've worked really hard on every word, every sentence to make sure if someone comes to our website, they don't just see a church that's talking about themselves. They don't see a church that is pushing their services or their sermons. They're seeing a church that's like, hey, we want to help you live the life you're created for.
Right.
Like we know life is complicated. We know it's hard, but we've kind of feel like we've helped a lot of people and we feel like we could help you too. And we tweak that in seasons. Right now we're tweaking like, okay, maybe we've gone too external, but I think keeping that mindset on like, okay, if I'm someone who's never been to your church and I'm coming to your website and you got Don Miller sometimes, I can't remember how many says, but you got a few seconds to basically like get me. Well, yeah. make it like, don't make it complicated. Just make it simple and make people go like, okay, yeah, that's that one or two lines I read that can make me keep kind of swiping and see what you have to offer.
Yeah.
And obviously to do that, like mobily for us, we've realized 97% of our web traffic is mobile. So I like gone are the days of designing on a computer. Yeah. Like you really need to almost be designing your website on your phone, but that's a big thing we're learning. Yeah. Those are some of the things that we're learning right now. And I think some of the, even the resources we have, you know, Meta Church is a book that Dave Adamson wrote. He used to be the social media pastor at North Point, was an online pastor there. He works now with Orange, which mm-hmm. is a kids curriculum we've yep. spoken about, we use. He wrote a great book called Meta Church. A lot of these principles are from there. And then also there's a great ebook called Flexible Church by Nathan Art. Mm-hmm. It's, you kind of got to sign up your email to get it, but you can Google it and we'll put a link to it. But it's just a great short, it's kind of a short read. And I would say a good introduction for anyone in this space is like, I'm trying to get my pastor to think this way, or I'm trying to think differently. It's kind of an easy first approach to it. And also we have a Facebook group we started out of our last conference that we'll put a link into just to be a place for community to say like, hey, I'm trying this, or I've been counting this way. What did you say about counting? And I think for me, who's come from like the creative church world space for years, there wasn't community. Now there's an amazing community around that. As I've gotten to this digital world and churches, there's just not a community or any good group of like, hey, we're here yeah. to have community and help each other. So we kind of started that in a response to it and just been having some great conversations.
So that's a Facebook group just so, specifically yep. around digital ministry.
Yep, digital ministry, like, and there's people in there from like app developers at churches or just the marketing person, or it's a worship pastor who's got to do all 10 of those jobs.
Yeah.
But we started for that, just saying like, how can we resource and help just have those conversations? So people ask, sometimes it's just like, hey, I'm trying to stream my service. I don't even know yeah. how, or sometimes it's something a little more complicated, but yeah, it's just a great place for a resource for people.
That's fantastic. So I'd love to hear from you. What impact have you seen since you and the team have started implementing these steps here at Christ Fellowship?
Well, first I shrunk our number from 900.
No. That's true. We had to get our senior pastors yeah, out of a minor depression.
But I think for us, we've seen it a few ways and we didn't even talk. So for us, even the idea of moving, I would say, and this is hard to measure, but even our sermon series, like for us, honestly, I feel like the last 2 years of sermon series have been a different breed of what we had before. And really a lot of those were just started in a desire to be like, how do we meet people's needs? So I think it's not measurable, but it has showed in like even our YouTube. Like our YouTube has quickly, because we kind of never paid, we didn't pay any attention to our YouTube until COVID. Mm-hmm. I think when COVID started, we might've been at like 20,000 subscribers maybe. Now we just, a few weeks ago, got our big play button. We surpassed 100,000.
That's awesome.
But really like 100,000 is a number, but that means 30,000 of those came in just this last year. So it's been a quick, drastic rise. But really what that means is 1.8 million hours of sermons were consumed.
Wow.
Like when you think about that, that yeah. is just like all of those messages, all that content got to live. Go back 15 years ago. Like we didn't put our message, like you preached yeah. it and it was done. Maybe someone bought the DVD or the cassette, yeah. but like that was it. Now it's like 1.8 million hours. And that's just our small church. So really like those things, we have 80,000 comments this last year. Like, and that builds that community connection that we're trying to build. 34 countries, which had like substantial messages that they're watching. So I think for us, we've seen that in YouTube, just a huge success of, and realizing who we are. Like people come to our YouTube page because they want church. If we're going to try other things, we'll probably create new YouTube pages and try it. But for us, it's like we need to deliver on a great church experience.
Yeah.
Because that's what people are coming for. And YouTube, if we keep pumping content like that, YouTube honors that content. I think the other thing for even like email. So for all of us, we still know email is still, it's still king. Like email marketing is still amazing. And I think the church doesn't ever even try to get into the space. For me, I get 5 or 6 emails a week from people I follow that with great content. For us, we took a different approach of every Monday we'd send an email that was pretty much nothing but promotional content. Here's all the events. Here's more of the things we talked about on the weekend.
Yeah.
So we changed that. I mean, we're basically averaging a 15 to 25% open rate, which 25 would have been high, which is still really good. This last, just a few weeks ago, we had a 50% open rate.
Wow.
And really all we did was just, you know, we still have Monday morning, you have a clip of the sermon, but everything else is value add content. If there is anything promotional, we bury it in the bottom, a little button, but everything is like, here's an article or two of what, you know, to kind of expand what we talked about on the weekend, or it really is just a value. Like I said before, it might've been, you talked about parenting. Well, here's an article on like, how to discipline your kid in a different way, or how to come over conflict you and your spouse experience when you're trying to parent. There's articles to help people, or classes or things like that. We've also segmented on some emails. We'll segment based on audience. So it's like, if you are offering a value add of Financial Peace University or something about tithing, well, don't send it to people already tithing.
Right.
It's kind of, they're like, why are you sending me this? So there's certain emails we'll segment based on everything from like, they have a kid, they don't have a kid, or they're giving, they're not giving. And every time we do that, we see a massive open rate. Some other success I think about, I go back to YouTube, but like this lady Marie started watching us during COVID from Sweden.
Yeah.
Last August, got on a plane, flew across the country because she wanted to get baptized in person. And she was surrounded by a family of other women who were in her group, some of them from Pennsylvania, some of them from Florida. But like just the life change we've seen from people like that, who are like, hey, I was scrolling through YouTube and literally saw a thumbnail that I was like, I wonder what that means, and clicked it, and whole life has been changed. And that, to me, that's one of the biggest rewards. For us, we've seen that happen over and over and over again. We have seen a massive, obviously, like our week to week, our viewership goes up every week. So it's really just been, it's been awesome to see God kind of work in all of those different ways.
That's awesome. I'm going to throw a little curveball here at you. Cause it's one thing to put a bunch of content on the web or online, but can you talk a little bit about some of the marketing strategy to actually help people find, specifically like we hear this term SEO and so forth. Like, why is that important in this digital age?
Yeah. Search engine optimization. It took me a while. I always just nodded my head when people said SEO. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay.
I know what that is.
Yeah. But I think for us, so we have this idea around marketing. We kind of have these two, well, three audiences, but they're really two. People who are looking for church and people who are looking for help. They're not looking for church, they're looking for help. People are looking for church. SEO is kind of the secret weapon. Like if they're looking for church, they should find our church. That's what I tell our team. Like if they're in our radius or in our area and they search anything about church in the city near us, like they need to find us. They have to. Like that's what we need to work at. So we work hard on not just buying ads, we work hard on optimizing our pages for SEO. So you'll see our website, our Palm Beach Gardens campus, you'll see over and over on that location page, church in Palm Beach Gardens, somewhere else, church. Like, why are they saying that so much? Well, that's just because when someone searches church in Palm Beach Gardens, Google will keep pumping that up. So we've worked really hard on SEO from a location standpoint. Yeah. So we've built location pages for every campus we have. We've got local phone numbers, even though they route back to our main location, we've given them local phone numbers because that helps really to kind of show Google like, hey, this is really an organization, they're here. Google reviews, we take a lot of care of those things. But then the other bucket is really people looking for help. And that's really people like, they have no idea they want church. But going back to that first question we talked about, but they still have the same need of like, they're anxious.
Yeah.
Or they need prayer. Or they need hope, or their marriage is falling apart. Like when they start Googling those things, when you Google like divorce right now, why should a divorce lawyer pop up? Like what should pop up is like, here's a message, here's an article we wrote to actually help you maybe think that there might be a different way in your marriage and it might not be getting out of it. So I think for us, when we write articles like that, we're working really hard to make sure SEO and those things are optimized. It might not be people find our website. It might be they find an article we wrote on how to be a great parent or how to be a loving spouse or how to pray with your spouse. That might actually be the thing that then leads them to church. So I think for us, we're kind of looking at those two audiences. The third one is basically people who look like all those audiences, but really it's those two. It's people who are looking for church and people who are just looking for, they're looking for hope or they're looking for some kind of cure. One of our most popular articles and videos is Pastor taught a message on the cure for anxiety. Or the antidote for anxiety. And it's like that one performs amazing. Cause like, again, that just goes to a felt need of what's happening in our community and what's happening in our world. So for us, we work really hard on those two strategies of just really looking externally at people who are looking for church and people who are looking for just a need to be met.
That's awesome. And I think if you're listening today, I would just say some of this stuff may seem overwhelming, like SEO, never heard of that, or some of these content pages or whatever, but there are people in your church who are able to help you actually do these things, or there are companies that will do it for a very low fee. And it's important because going back to what we said earlier is like, as you build digital ministry, it's going to impact the whole. It's going to impact physical engagement as well. So
yeah, and I think find a business leader in your, like, if you don't have one, find a business leader in your church who's doing something like that. Ask them, and I'm sure they'll have plenty of input on what they think you should be doing as a church.
Yes.
So it's like, leverage that.
That's, well, this is so good. Well, thank you so much, Greg, for sharing today. And why don't we stay tuned, because if you enjoyed this episode, we've got more coming every Wednesday. And don't forget to subscribe and visit the show notes so you can let us know where you're listening from, what you need prayer for, and what you're doing in ministry that's working really well, because we want to learn from you too and keep the conversation going. So we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Nexus Podcast. For additional resources and show notes from today's episode, check out our website, nexusplatform.com. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a comment below. We hope these conversations left you feeling equipped and resourced as you grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church.